This is lesson five, and God, one of the things we'll talk about today is God does still require a sacrifice. Amen. God does still require a sacrifice. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we want to read that today. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. This scripture calls us a royal priesthood. Folks, understand this today. You and I are chosen by God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are his special people. Amen. And the devil does not want you to believe that. Why? Because then when you understand who you are and who you belong to, amen, you'll have faith like never before. And the enemy knows that, so he does not want you to believe that. So you say, well, why am I chosen? Why are we a royal priesthood? Why are we a holy nation? Why are we a special people? So that we could tell the world, so that we can share the praises of the one person who brought us out of a dark place into his marvelous light. Amen. God wants us. We have a job to do. He didn't save us to warm a pew. Amen. He saved us to do a work for him. And he has blessed us and helps us so that we can do for him. He wants you to tell others they can have the same blessings you have. Amen. You see, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel had priests. And these priests were responsible for offering the sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. They were the middleman between God and the congregation. But in the New Testament, instead of having priests, we are the priest. Amen. We now can come boldly before the throne of God and offer our own sacrifices. We can offer our own praises and worship to God. We can fearlessly step into the Holy of Holies and declare our petitions before God. In the Old Testament, they did sacrifices. The Old Testament priest would bring the sacrifices of others to the altar of God. People would bring doves and goats and rams and bulls and other animals that were offered for a peculiar sin that was committed. There were also offerings of flour and other vegetables depending on the sin that was committed. But here's the deal, folks. Understand, the blood of animals proved to be no effect in the long run because all it could do was cover sins for a short time. I told folks that it would roll it back for another year and then the next year, all the way up to Calvary. Amen. The blood of animals proved to be of no effect. So it did not take the sins away, it just rolled them back. Jesus Christ, though, came. He was God in the flesh. He came and gave his life. Jesus shed his own blood for the sins of all mankind. And this time, the blood was perfect and spotless. And instead of covering sins for a short time, the blood of Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice for the cleansing of sin. We have in the New Testament a new covenant. Now we live in a new covenant, a new relationship with God like never before. God no longer requires the blood of bulls and goats because he has paid the price. God does still require a sacrifice. Well, so you say, well, what are the sacrifices that we can bring to God in this new and living covenant? What are the sacrifices that would please God today? Well, there are many ways that we can please the Lord. You say, well, what do I have that God wants? What ability, what talent do I have that God would want? What assets do I have that God would want to use in his kingdom? Well, today, I want us to consider the first sacrifice that we can offer to the Lord, and that is our person. Josiah, King Josiah was one that did that. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25 says, never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, his soul, and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. And there has never been a king like him since. You see, Josiah was a king that sought to honor God. He first began by rebuilding the temple of the Lord. And one day while work was being done on the temple, someone found the book of the law, and they took it to Josiah. He was so moved by the words of the Lord that he commanded the entire book be read to the people of Israel. He became a tool, folks, in the hand of God. You see, he destroyed the idols that people were worshiping. He went up into the high places and he tore down the altars that had been built to the false gods. All of the witch doctors and those who practiced horoscopes were smashed. The houses of prostitutes were brought to ruin so that the Israel would live again by the law of the Lord. Josiah, King Josiah, became king after the heart of God and was used to usher in a time of revival, a time of renewal to God's people. See, folks, today we see people who are giving themselves to God. They are sacrificing all for what is right. What is good that God may get the glory? You see, folks, God wants you. And notice the text that we read. He said, the scripture said, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength. God wants that from each and every one of us. As men stood before the congregation of Israel and they read the word of the Lord, Josiah is listening. And the readers came to Deuteronomy, and these words pierced the heart of a young king and changed him forever. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. What can we learn from King Josiah? We learn this, that God requires the sacrifice of self. Josiah gave his whole heart to God, to the things of God, and the Lord requires no less today. No less today. In Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In that same scripture, Romans 12, verse 1, in the Living Bible, it says, as so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? You see, before we can make any further advances in the kingdom of God, there is an all-important sacrifice that must be made to the Lord. You say, well, what is the sacrifice? It is a living sacrifice. Folks, the Lord is calling you, and he's calling myself, to present our bodies to him. He's calling us to give away and or yield to his work in our life. Are you allowing the Lord to do through you what he wants to do? Or are we doing what we want to do? Come on. Are you allowing the Lord to do through you what he wants to do? Now, I'm not just talking about the flesh being offered to God. I'm talking about you, the whole person, you, spirit, soul, and body. You see, before our body can give over to the work of the Lord, our inner man has to first give way. Your flesh is not going to follow doing things unless it's in here. Amen? Our body will do nothing that hasn't first been settled in our spirit and in our soul. The Lord is challenging us to voluntarily offer ourselves up to Him. He is urging us to sacrifice our life to the cause of His kingdom, but not by physically dying, but by living. You say, well, what good are you to the kingdom plan, folks, if you're physically dead? Nothing, right? We're not good. So God wants that living sacrifice. The sacrifice the Lord is looking for is someone who will die out to their desires, die out to their fleshly desires, die out to their lust, die out to their evil thoughts and their ideas. You see, to some of us, this seems tough and it seems restrictive. Many Christians today have an attitude that says, well, as long as I can call myself a Christian, I will be okay with God, but don't ask me to change my behavior. Come on. Is that really being what God wants you to be? Some Christians say, let me worship and let me sing, but don't ask me to give up my evil ways and my actions and the things that I want to do. This attitude is not right, and God is not pleased with it. Now, sometimes you can tell no difference between Christians and non-Christians. Come on. You see, the experience of God's grace and of God's mercy in our life should cause us a desire to change. You should have a desire to change, to want to be pleasing to God. And what were you before Christ? What were you before Christ? Looking back at what we were before Jesus Christ came into our lives should cause us to stand in awe of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? If you are the same now as you were before you repented, then I would suggest you need to find another place to repent again. You see, any relationship, hear me, any relationship that does not change us is not worth having. Right? Got real quiet in here. Give your whole heart to God. Give your whole soul and your whole might to the things of God and see how much you will enjoy living for God. Now, the Lord has put some stop signs along the road called life. And when you come to one of these signs, you have a choice. We can stop and we can see what the Lord is trying to show us, or we can just go ahead, slide right through it. What do you have that God wants? He wants you. He wants you. Jesus, He is urging us, He's pleading with us, He's begging us to yield to Him so His perfect work can be done in us. We have to be a living sacrifice, folks, and it's not easy. It's not easy. And sometimes we crawl away from the altar and we do our own thing, but still the call of God comes to us. Everything I am talking about can be summed up in a great word called consecration. And that word simply means setting something apart for the worship and the work of God. That's something the Lord wants us to do, is set apart, is our person, is ourself for His work. Well, why should I set myself apart, Pastor? You mean something to God, that's why. You mean something to God. He loves you, and He wants to be with you. He wants to show you all that He has in store for you now and forever. He has no other plan but to help you and to prosper you in areas of life. Now remember this today, folks. Whoever you give yourself to, that is who you are going to serve. Amen? If you give your body to drugs and alcohol, you will become the slave and servant of drugs and alcohol. If you give your body over to sex, then you will become a servant of sex. If you give yourself over to money, you will become the servant of money. Folks, this is not what God intended for us. He did not intend this. He never planned for you to become a vessel of dishonor, but rather a vessel of honor. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, but in the great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I want you to understand something in that scripture. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. It didn't say the master of the house did it. You have to do it. Cleanse yourself for the use of the Lord. You are valuable to God. You matter to God. He does not want us to be controlled by any other power than Him. See, your body and your spirit, your soul, belongs to God, and we should use them to glorify God. You see, sex before marriage is fornication. Sex outside of marriage is adultery. Lying, cheating, stealing, bad attitude, drunkenness, fighting is still wrong and still sinful, even today. Participating in these things will cause the vessel that God has given you to become stained and worthless. Paul explained it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 15 through 20. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scripture says, two are united into one, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. You see, if you choose to set yourself apart for the worship and the work of God, your vessel, your body, will become like gold. In James chapter 1, verse 17 says, but whatsoever is good and perfect comes to us from God, the creator of all light, and he shines forever without change or shadow. You say, well, how should I set myself apart? Well, there are a few things or four things that you should consider when you make the decision to give your whole heart to God. These are the things that you have to offer him along with your body. And that number one is love. Give him all your love, and the body will naturally follow in the direction your love is pointed. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. The next one is obedience. You see, out of love comes a determination to obey the word of God and God of the word. Psalms 119, verse 2 says, joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Number three is trust. You see, love and obedience produces trust. Because you love him, you obey him, and you learn that he never fails, and trust results. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And then number four is repentance. Because you trust him, you can come to him. And you can come to him with any sin, any shame in your life, and ask for his forgiveness and mercy. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning." Now, folks, I realize that in this life I have we have very little control over anything. But one thing we do have control over is giving to God those things that he desires most. My love, my obedience, my trust, my repentance. God wants you. Remember that when you leave here, God wants you. Not part of you. He wants all of you. Have you given to the Lord the very thing that he wants, and that is you? Have you given it to the Lord? You. Let's stand. This is the last thing the devil wants you to do, is give you to God. Okay? He wants you to think that it's more important to be able to do some of the things that you think are important. But you should run everything through God, because you are his. If you have given yourself to him, then he has every right to expect you to, God, what do you think of this? Is this pleasing to you? If I do this, will this lift you up? You see, sometimes, folks, we have to remember whose we are, and every day live for him. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday. Come on, every day needs to be his. It'll change your life. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name.